Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
12:06 on Super Talk 99.7. WTN, Dan Mandis Show. Really interesting story out of Minnesota that you heard Pamela talking about. This police officer that gunned down an innocent woman who was just talking to other police officers. The cop's name, by the way, is Mohammed Noor. He's a Somalian. And so there's a lot more to this story that we're going to go into behind the headlines here in this hour of the Dan Mandis program. But first, of course, it is the biggest news story of the day.
I imagine many Democrats were celebrating last night. I hope they consider what they are celebrating. The American people are hurting. They need relief. And it's regretful that our Democratic colleagues decided early on that they did not want to engage with us seriously in the process to deliver that relief.
Yeah, that is, of course, Mitch McConnell. Now, here's the interesting thing about this whole conversation that we are in the midst of, and that is the repealing of Obamacare in 2 years, is that for a lot of folks, this is exactly the scenario that we kind of wanted. You know, I don't know if you've been listening to me for any length of time, but I've been saying all along, you know what? Simply let Obamacare die. So for the next 2 years, as the Republicans supposedly are going to try and wind down Obamacare, it is going to have the opportunity to either fail or succeed, essentially on its own merits. Now, the big question is this, because I know that the headlines right now are that the Senate is going to vote to repeal Obamacare. I don't know if they're going to have the votes. I mean, I want you to think about this. Do you really think that the same moderate Republicans who were working against the likes of Rand Paul and in some cases against the likes of Ted Cruz, do you really think that they're going to be comfortable repealing Obamacare with the narrative that is out there today? Because let's face it, and what's interesting is Mitch McConnell talks about how the Democrats are celebrating right now. I want you to think about what the Democrats are celebrating. Because we know that, for example, people are literally not able to afford the premiums of Obamacare, so then they get the IRS after them. It's limited coverage, skyrocketing rates, people have lost their doctors, people have lost their plans. We know all this. He is absolutely right. The American people are indeed hurting, and the left is celebrating. And just to show you how insane and inane their celebration is, the left is celebrating that the very tax cuts for the rich that they hated in previous versions will now actually happen if Obamacare goes away. And they're happy about it now. Meantime, people are going to lose their coverage. I mean, if you think about it, it's like opposite day. Now, the question is, again, I go back to the Republicans because I know that this is either a victory or a failure for the Republicans, depending on your perspective. See, a lot of folks are going to look at this and say, well, this is an absolute victory for the Republicans. This is absolutely a victory for some who hated Obamacare, which, by the way, I'm one of them. But see, I hate Obamacare. This is, again, it's like opposite day. I hate Obamacare so much that I want it to fail on its own merits. I want it to fail based on the concepts brought forward by the Democrats and President Obama, based on all of the things that I just mentioned, that the American people are hurting, that people can't afford it, the choices are at a minimum, the premiums are high, the coverage is low, jobs have been eliminated, it goes on and on. And so I don't like it. I don't like Obamacare. And so the fact that I don't like it, I'm okay with it staying in place until it fails. But see, now the question is, who's right on this? We had the four senators against this, right? We had Rand Paul, played a whole bunch of his audio yesterday. You got Rand Paul, Susan Collins. Last night it was Mike Lee of Utah and Jerry Moran of Kansas. Now, Lee wasn't necessarily a surprise, of course. But the question is, will this full repeal pass? Will moderates, and this is the big question, will moderates have the gumption to, quote, cut taxes for the rich and eliminate health care for millions? Which I put that in quotation marks because that is what the optics are. That is what the narrative will be from the mainstream media. It's already started, folks. And so that's going to be the big question. Now, one of the things that I was thinking about as I'm kind of game playing this whole thing out, right? Is it possible that what Mitch McConnell is actually thinking and is actually doing is that he has to prove that a straight repeal will not work? So if it doesn't pass through the Senate, which it might not, again, there's enough moderate Republicans that are going to say, well, no, we're not going to repeal this, thereby forcing a plan that would mean both Democrats and Republicans can get together for some sort of a compromise. Could that be what Mitch McConnell is thinking? I've seen that floated. So I guess the big question ultimately is going to be, is this a victory or a failure of the GOP and for President Trump? And I do understand that it depends on your perspective, obviously. But if you're a Trump supporter, you're angry because President Trump doesn't have that legislative victory that he so desperately needs. We know that just about everything that the president campaigned on has been hitting brick walls, whether it's the refugee program, whether it's our immigration laws, whether it's sanctuary cities. Next up is tax reform. We'll see what happens there. But everything that the president has wanted to do has been blocked or stalled. And so this was something that the president, even as late as last night, the president was saying, yes, we're going to get this done. The Senate's going to get this done. We're going to have a bill in place, only to see it die. And so now ultimately Mitch McConnell is saying we're going to bring back this 2015 plan to repeal Obamacare and let the chips fall where they may. So despite the fact that the president does not have that legislative victory that he so desperately needed, overall, I would say it could be a good thing. Because if Obamacare will ultimately be allowed to die on its own, and the president tweeted that out last night, I'm okay with that. And so it is baffling when we hear the likes of Chuck Schumer. It is baffling when we hear the likes of Nancy Pelosi and all these other folks on the left who are saying, oh, these Republicans, they're so incompetent, they can't even pass legislation. Okay, well, we'll have to see what happens in a couple of years. One of two things is going to happen. Either Obamacare will fully be repealed, and ultimately it will go away in a couple of years, or it's going to be so horrifically, incredibly bad, which I think it will be, that the Democrats have no choice but to come back to the table and work with the Democrats. I mean, all that being said, we know that the bill, and we talked about this yesterday, we know that the bill that was on the table, it was not the right bill. It still had the insurance mandates. It still had the taxes on higher incomes, and it still had the subsidies. Insurance companies weren't necessarily happy either because of the Cruz Amendment. So it just, we all know it wasn't the right bill. So this quote-unquote loss for President Trump in Congress is not necessarily a loss for conservatives, but it's those conservatives that may shoulder the blame. So as I was saying, for me, this is a victory, because if this thing is actually repealed and is pulled in a couple of years, then at that point, Obamacare is still dying or dead. And that means that it will be proof positive that this was ill-conceived from the very start. So, yeah, as Democrats continue to celebrate, knock yourselves out, it's going to be, in my opinion, short-lived. And you would think that the left, this is what's so baffling, and this is why I feel like it's opposite day, because you would think that the left would be upset because the repeal means, again, from the narrative and the perspective from the left, that in 2 years, Republicans are taking away everybody's health care. But instead, they're only looking at this from a political standpoint and the current climate. Which is fine if that's what they want to do, but it only proves their point that they're not interested in their supporters, but in the optics of Republicans not able to get a deal done. But here's a big question. Back in 2015, when this legislation to repeal Obamacare was drafted, and we've talked about this before, folks, they knew that it would not come to fruition, because Obama would veto it. So now we have President Trump, who absolutely will sign this. So the repeal of Obamacare really is on them. So what's next? Will the parties end up coming up with an alternative to Obamacare, or just let the market dictate what happens like we had pre-Obamacare? I think it's a big question. And I don't know the answer to this. I don't have a crystal ball. But if this does pass, if the total and complete repeal of Obamacare passes here at the end of 2017, ultimately will take place in 2019, then I guess one of my questions will be, can a new Congress in 2018, right, repeal the repeal? Let's face it, this was a major issue that inspired folks to come out in 2016. So what happens then in 2018? Is this going to be one of the huge drivers for the midterms in 2018? I think obviously it will be. But for me, this is what I would say is a victory. Maybe he didn't even know it yet, but maybe this is a victory for President Trump, because even though he does not have that legislative victory that he needs, I think when we look back on this date 2 years from now, and perhaps they come up with something that will let the markets dictate how people pay for and how much people pay for their health insurance, then I think that will ultimately be a good thing. History will ultimately decide what happens here with the repealing of Obamacare. But it's going to be the Rand Pauls of the world. It's going to be the Mike Lees of the world. It's going to be the Susan Collins of the world. Those people are going to be the ones that right now, and you even heard President Trump, or perhaps Rudd, he tweeted out earlier today, something about how there was all of the Democrats and a handful of Republicans that were against this deal. And you know, it's really interesting. And this is what I don't sometimes understand about President Trump. And I support the guy. And you know that I support the guy. But sometimes I get so confused by him, because it sometimes seems like he's confused, right? Because for a long time, he was talking about the repealing and replacing of Obamacare. He campaigned on the repealing and replacing of Obamacare. Yet the latest version, the second version from the Senate, was essentially what a lot of people called Obamacare Lite, Obamacare 2.0, whatever it is. It wasn't truly a repeal and replace. It was in some ways different, but in a lot of ways, it was still the same. And so it's really confusing when the president campaigned for so long on repeal and replace, and then it essentially, even though some would like to call it a repeal and replace, it really wasn't a repeal and replace. The second version, it was more, to me anyway, of some differences, but a lot more of the same. Yet the president is coming out against the people that stood in its way, both Republicans and Democrats. Now, Republicans were coming out against the second version of health care. Republicans came out against it for a different reason than the Democrats. The Democrats were against it simply because this was something that was brought forth by the Republicans. The Republicans didn't like it because they felt like it wasn't conservative enough. So now the question is this, as it relates to the midterm elections, what happens during the midterm elections? Who will ultimately pay the price? Will it be the Democrats? Because we know that the president is going to be calling for more of a majority in the Senate. Because in the president's mind, if he can get more of a majority in the Senate, all of our problems will be solved. All of his problems will be solved. And the Democrats are going to be screaming that they need more seats and perhaps even overtake the Senate, because they're going to say that they need more power, perhaps to save Obamacare as it continues to wind down towards 2018. And Newt Gingrich said something yesterday that sent shivers down my spine. What he said is coming up next right here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. 1226 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. So, Bell, you know, one of the things that is so much fun regarding this job is that not only does my head explode on occasion, but literally on a minute-by-minute basis, Producer Bell's head also explodes. Now, Bell, you just read me a tweet that made my jaw hit the desk here.
While my head exploded.
While your head was exploding. Quite the sight. And you're reading a tweet from Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
Oh, no.
And what does it say?
POTUS has never cared about lowering costs and helping working families. If he did, he would support the ACA. I think my eyeball's about to pop out of my skull.
Well, listen, it's all about, first of all, I don't know, Pamela, you're not an expert on such things, so forgive me for asking you this. Bell said something off the air that I'm going to go ahead and repeat on the air regarding Nancy Pelosi. What did you say, Bell, about Nancy Pelosi's Botox? Something about how...
I said I hoped her doctor runs out of Botox.
Yes, I didn't know. Is Nancy Pelosi, is she full of Botox? I didn't know that.
Yes.
I don't know these things. Is
well,
she
see,
really?
Well, I mean, just look at her forehead.
Well,
and
you know,
how...
you would think that she would look better then.
And I am an expert on it because I'm a woman and I have looked at these things. Do I need it? Do I not need it? What do I need to do?
Dude,
and
for 109, she doesn't look bad.
I mean, think of, she is a grandma. I mean, she's up there, but her forehead doesn't move. You know, that's what happens. It numbs your face,
yeah,
basically.
Thought,
so it doesn't. So you may smile, but there's really nothing about your face that's moving.
See, I thought that was from her lobotomy.
Ow.
But apparently, no,
wow.
It's from her Botox.
Ouch.
Can I get a rim shot from somebody?
Well,
that was funny.
No,
that
no
wasn't a joke.
Yeah, no one's disagreeing with you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There was no humor in that. That was statement of fact.
We all believe you.
You know, even when I try to joke, I'm still right. Okay, fine, whatever.
Oh,
thank you.
Really?
No, apparently not. Thank you. Pamela, thank you very much.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Why are you yelling at me?
Oh, for the love of Pete.
Who's calling you? That's got to be Dan. That's not me.
Should I answer this on the air?
Who is it?
I don't know.
Hold on. I think you should.
Shh. Hello?
Hey, it's Kelly. Listen, I'll be real quick and get right to the point.
This is the hell that is
thanks,
my life.
Kelly.
$2,500 every week from home. By simply
can I ask a question?
A phone number,
well, can you give me that number?
Yeah, hold on. Let me write this down.
We all need more money.
Would it be worth 3 minutes of your time?
Yes.
No.
Because
I'm already late for a break. Goodbye, Kelly. Can I ask, in all seriousness, first of all, a host should have his telephone turned off. Thank you.
Yes.
Why is it that I'm suddenly besieged by these phone calls from telemarketing on my cell phone?
Well, you filled out something and put your phone
something
number on.
Somewhere.
I promise
and
you
it.
I didn't.
No,
so
they sold
yeah,
it.
Yeah, somewhere in without reading the... you click something without reading what it allowed them to do.
Oh, my
and,
Lord.
But uh-huh. what all you have to do is go back to donotcall.org or .gov.
Oh, okay.
Put your number back in.
Or
and that'll...
just block that number on your phone.
I could do that, but I've never blocked anybody before. Actually, I'd have to figure out how to do that. But here's the other thing.
I will show you. I've done it a lot.
Have you? I bet. But here's the other thing is that there are always different numbers.
Like
that's
true.
You know, that was Gainesville, Florida, right? So,
yeah.
But, I mean, last night I got a call from Portland, Oregon. The other day it was Phoenix. I mean, it's on and on.
Yeah, somebody sold your number.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And mm-hmm. I would like to know who sold my number because that irks me to no end.
I didn't get that much for it. Don't worry about it.
No offense, but it is your own fault because you didn't read the fine print in whatever it was that you were filling out because they have to, by law, notify you that they can sell that they intend to sell your number.
Can you give me an example as to what I may have filled out?
Because I don't know. I mean,
it could have been you signing up on a website for, you know,
news or
if you went to Entertainment Weekly and it could be anything, literally.
Okay. Very good. Well, I'll have to figure it out. But anyway, coming up next, it's 12:30 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Coming up next, I will get to what it was that Newt Gingrich said that scared the living daylights out of me. Speaking of Nancy Pelosi, that story coming up next on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. 12:38 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show. Hello, hello. Yeah, all the news sites are sending out news alerts and so forth, saying that now there are a number of different senators who are saying they will not vote to repeal Obamacare, and so it goes. We'll have to see what happens. What is it that Newt Gingrich said that has me worried so much? Bell, I need some audio, if you would.
I personally believe they ought to do as much as they can on health care right now, but they shouldn't spend the whole rest of this year on one issue. They have also got to pass, I think, by Thanksgiving and get signed into law by Thanksgiving, a very large tax cut, retroactively designed back to January 1, to make sure that we have enough economic growth in 2018 that Republicans can run as the party of prosperity, of jobs, of higher take-home pay, and of economic growth. And I would say the highest focus ought to be on getting the tax bill through, because if we don't have economic growth next year, I think we're in real danger of having Speaker Nancy Pelosi in 2019. If we do get enough economic growth, I think, frankly, we'll probably get reelected.
Yeah, and one of the things that Newt said in there, of course, was say hello to Nancy Pelosi again as Speaker of the House. I mean, think about what Newt is saying, right? First of all, we know that there was a whole bunch of folks out there that were saying that it was a strategical error for the president and also for Congress to try and work on repealing Obamacare, repealing and replacing Obamacare right off the bat. Tax reform, at least according to some, would have been the far easier road to go down. And frankly, for a lot of folks, probably better for a lot of us because, let's face it, for most of us, and I'll speak for myself, I would much rather have more money in my pocket as opposed to dealing with repealing and replacing Obamacare and having that fight go on and on and on. I would have much rather had tax reform first. I think a lot of folks have been saying that. Repeal and replace was very important, but honestly, I also think that more actual money in our pockets would be huge, and that really would affect everybody, right? Would help everybody. So now CNBC is reporting that President Trump and his administration, they're going full court press on tax reforms. This is like the next step. They've already closed the page on repeal and replace, and now they're going full bore on tax reforms. They're talking about high-level planning. They're talking about high-level organization as well. And I think maybe, just maybe, the president has learned from what I would call the train wreck of dealing with Obamacare. Because let's face it, there's a lot of things that went wrong with the whole repeal and replace attempt, whether it's the Congress and when President Trump was really hands-on in the House of Representatives and then hands-off when it came to the Senate. The president tried both ways, hands-on with the House of Representatives, hands-off with the Senate. And I think the president probably didn't realize, and maybe he's finally beginning to understand after, what, 6-7 months in office, whatever it's been, that Congress is incredibly dysfunctional. I think that for a lot of people who have not necessarily been paying a lot of attention to the political climate over the past many years, we all know that President Trump brought a whole lot of new people into the mix, a lot of new people to the world of politics. And I think that for those people, I think the last 6 or 7 months has been a real eye-opener as far as what the real problem is here in America. And certainly for 8 years, it was President Obama. But also, let's also not forget Congress. And especially right now. I mean, when you look at the absolute train wreck that is Congress, when you look at the fact that, say, for example, the Democrats took that hard line against President Trump, even the moderates would not work with the Republicans on any kind of repeal or replace or fixing or adjusting Obamacare in the least. And I've told you my reasoning for that. I just don't think that the party of the left was willing to have even their moderates work hand in hand with the Republicans to give President Trump any kind of a legislative victory. I just don't. I think at this point they are so incredibly hardwired to do anything and everything they can to make sure that the president does not get a legislative victory. And so for President Trump and for a lot of Americans, I think that this has been and is an education. And so now the president is focusing on perhaps what he'll be able to get done, something he'll actually, I should say, be able to get done, and that is some form of tax reform. And so just a very quick refresher course here is that the president wants to simplify the brackets with only 3 tax brackets as opposed to 7, rates of 10, 25, and 35. Standard deductions would double with what the President Trump wants to do. Ultimately, though, if the president wants to move forward with something that will help most Americans, he does need to hyper-focus and get Congress to hyper-focus on this, and we'll have to see what happens. But that is the next big conversation that we're going to have here in America, and the president is certainly putting his nose to the grindstone and working on tax reforms. The big question is, will Congress allow for any kind of tax reform to take place? Because we already know that they are hell-bent on not doing much, if anything, regarding Obamacare. We'll have to see what the next step is. It is 1244 on Supertalk 99.7 WTN. Weird, interesting, disturbing story out of Minnesota. The Australian woman that was shot dead by this police officer who had only been on the force for, what, about a year, year and a half, 2 years, something like that. Guy's name is Mohammed Noor, and he is a Somalian. He's an immigrant police officer, and it's a really bizarre story, and none of it makes any sense. I know that you've heard the headlines, but when I tell you the rest of the story, you will be scratching your head even more than you already are regarding the Somalian, the immigrant cop, who shot an innocent woman as she was talking to his partner. And so what happens is this woman, Jessica Damon, she is an Australian, and she apparently was very much loved in her Minneapolis neighborhood. Everybody knew her. She's one of these ladies, right? And so she reports that there is some sort of a disturbance near her home. I think it was in the alleyway. And so she comes out of her home to speak to the police. The police pull up, and Mohammed Noor, he is in the passenger seat. And she comes out, and she is speaking to Mohammed Noor's partner, who is in the driver's seat. And as she is speaking to his partner, for whatever reason, this Somalian cop pulls out his gun, reaches across his partner, and fires into the abdomen of Jessica Damon. And she's dead. For some inexplicable reason, nobody can understand. But that account has been confirmed by no less than three witnesses. Now, what makes this uncomfortable for everybody is the fact that here in this particular part of Minnesota, we all know, because we've spoken to Kathy Hinders a number of different times, that this particular area in Minnesota is one of the leading areas for Somalian refugees, and this guy, Mohammed Noor, was one of them. As a matter of fact, when this guy was in the police force, when he entered into the police force, and then when they made him a police officer, I mean, you've got the mayor, and you've got all of the local community, and they're throwing all kinds of parties for this guy, and they're putting him on some sort of a pedestal, saying, oh, this is such a great kumbaya moment that this Somalian immigrant is now a police officer. But nobody can figure out, including yours truly, why in the world would this guy pull out a gun and shoot the woman? Essentially, I don't know if it was point blank range, but I mean, it was within a few feet. I don't know exactly what the definition is of point blank range, but it's just odd. And so now, I don't know, I would say either understandably so or I don't understand why it is. But the police force there, the investigators, are being very quiet about this. Now, a couple other things that you need to know about this guy, Mohammed Noor, is he's had a couple of issues over in the past couple of years. He's had a couple of different run-ins, if you will. He's been under investigation a couple of different times, complaints, if you will. And this is from the local paper there in Minnesota. In his short time with the Minneapolis Police Department, Noor has had three complaints filed against him, two that are still open. The other was closed, and Noor was not disciplined. And they go on to describe one of them when, back on May 25th, a woman accused Noor of assault and battery because he, quote, grabbed her right wrist and upper arm and inflamed a pre-existing shoulder injury while officers were forcibly removing her from her home and bringing her to the hospital. So there's been a couple of different complaints, and I'm going to be perfectly candid. I don't know if, as I read some of these complaints, and I've only read one of the three, the other one was dropped, and he was not disciplined or anything like that. So there's one other one that is kind of hanging out there. But as I read this complaint, it doesn't sound like it's a valid complaint. I'm assuming they investigated him, and nothing came of it, and whatever it is. So even though there have been three different complaints against this guy in a short time with the police department, I don't know if they're valid complaints. It's hard for me to tell because I'm just reading what is in the media. So two of those complaints are still open. We'll find out more as to what those complaints actually are. And hopefully at some point we'll find out what this guy, Mohammed Noor, was thinking when he seemingly just opened fire on this woman who was talking to her partner. None of it makes any sense. And I've been racking my brain as I've been reading this story over the past couple of days, trying to figure out why this Somalian, who was so incredibly celebrated by the local community as a guy who was somebody who was going to bring unity to the community, why he did what he did. Now, one theory I guess you could throw out there, and it seems like a valid one to me, is because this guy, who, by the way, said his calling was to be a police officer, even though he worked as like a hotel manager and residential property management, and he was a general manager of a hotel. He also worked at a couple of other places, nothing having to do with security, right? But he said that being a police officer was his calling. Well, I guess the question that I would have is, was there such a drive to make Mohammed Noor a police officer because he was a Somalian? Did he get all the training that he needed, or was he just rushed right through? And I don't know. You don't have to have a whole boatload of training to know that if somebody is talking to your partner, you don't simply pull out a gun and shoot her in the abdomen. She was unarmed. So there's absolutely no reason why he should have done what he did. So this whole thing just defies logic. It really does. And so I myself, and I know a lot of folks are looking at this story and waiting to see what kind of excuse this guy has as to why he did what he did. One of the things that he said was, and I thought it was almost like a bizarre statement, he said something to the effect of, "I take this woman's death very seriously." Well, you know, you should, because you're the one that killed her. So we'll have to wait and see what the investigation comes up with in the death of this woman, Jessica Damond, at the hands of this Somalian immigrant police officer, Mohammed Noor. And if you're wondering, okay, so why is it that you're focusing, Mandis, on the fact that he's a Somalian? Well, I'm focusing on the fact that he's a Somalian only because that is part of the overall story. And also part of the overall story is that this guy was so incredibly celebrated in the local community by the mayor and others as somebody who was going to bring unity to the community. And instead, he's managed to do just the opposite. So very bizarre story there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we'll keep you up to speed on that story as it continues to develop. It is 1252 on Super Talk
99.7 WTN. I'm Pamela Furr. President Trump says he's ready to see Obamacare collapse and a college student suspended for cyberbullying after he posts his girlfriend's Dear John letter.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm not kidding.
Do you have the letter?
I can get a copy of the letter. Do you want to see the letter?
I would like to read the letter on the radio.
All right, I'll do the story.
Have you ever received the Dear John?
I've written a Dear John.
I have. I've received a letter way back when.
Do you consider a text message, "I don't want to see you anymore," a Dear John letter? Or a post-it saying, you know, stop calling?
No, way back when I got a two-page letter on why I was a jerk. And why she was leaving me.
Yeah,
so,
I've written Dear John letters, but I've only gotten, you know.
Yeah, see if you can find.
I'm dumping you text.
Yeah, see if you can find. I would just be interested to hear what you had to say. Anyway, that's 1 o'clock. News is next on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.